Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I need to stop saying, this is as crazy as it gets. Every day I am proven wrong on that respect, proven wrong on that front. I know the Olympics only last for another week, and I'm loving them. I'm enjoying all the stories, all of the phenomenal moments, whether it be for Team USA or for other countries who maybe never experienced this Olympic glory. San Marino just had its first ever Olympic medal. Do you know, and I did not know this until I watched the coverage, San Marino, and I believe it was trap shooting that the medal was won in. San Marino has a population of 34,000. And the point Mike Tirico made is that that wouldn't even be enough to fill most baseball stadiums. Wouldn't be enough to fill even half of the majority of the NFL stadiums out there. So it's pretty amazing, the stories of triumph, and the ones that you hear that always get me are the ones where the athletes have had to overcome such incredible adversity, whether it be injuries, whether it be training problems, whether it be really the obstacles and challenges of the last year, which have been so difficult for every athlete and every American, really every human. But Caleb Dressel, who's one of the best swimmers in the world, that's what got him to break down in the wake of his run. I think it was Wednesday, his 100 meter freestyle run in the pool. Sounds funny to say it that way, but his gold medal and his Olympic record. And as he was getting interviewed by Michelle Tafoya, what was he talking about? How hard this last year has been, but man, it is all worth it when your dreams come true. So congratulations to all of these athletes. And for those of you who aren't watching and don't really know why, you still have a week to get on board. I've seen that a bunch with people on Facebook or even heard it in conversations with people. Yeah, I'm not really watching the Olympics this year, and I don't know why. I'm just not as interested. They're phenomenal. There are some people in the stands, by the way. There are other teams, there are athletes, there are members of travel delegations. The arenas, the venues are not completely silent. They're not the same, but they're not completely silent if that's what's holding you back. The athletes, the way they're competing, all of that is familiar and feels just like any other Olympics that you've watched in the past. And it's kind of neat the way that NBC and its family of networks has connected so many families, similar to what they've done during, say, the NFL draft, to make sure that all over the country, the athletes are connected with their families and friends. And that's what's happening with the Olympics, too. And so in the case of Suni Lee, who is now the fifth straight American woman to win the all-around competition at the gymnastics venue, and to have that gold around her neck, where for so often she's been operating in the shadow of Simone Biles. Not a bad thing. I mean, they're on the same team, and they've won a lot of competitions together in the team aspect. But for her to step into that void and to go from what maybe would have been a silver medal, but there was strong competition to now carrying the banner for Team USA as the all-around champion is amazing. And everything she did to prepare for this, even though she didn't know it was going to happen when she got to Tokyo. And then Jade Carey, who did not medal and had a really disappointing balance beam. She fell off and even though it was tape delayed, I was still feeling it in that moment for her and her dad, who's her coach, and the emotions that you could see all over her face and in her body language, even in the body language of her teammates. And yet she had a chance to compete in the all around because she had to step in when Simone withdrew. I do hope that we see Simone Biles before the end of these games, but it doesn't sound like right now she's in the right space mentally or physically. She has put some videos out and some comments on social media in which she's indicated that she's struggling and that she's got the twisties, which is a gymnastics term. I had not heard of it before. But essentially, you lose track of where you are in the air and you don't have that same depth perception. And you're just, it feels foreign to you. All of it feels foreign. And so she doesn't sound like she's in a space where she's going to be able to compete on Sunday with the event final starting. I hope that's not the case. But I am anxious to see the rest of Team USA and the other young women who have traveled to Tokyo with such high hopes. And congratulations to Suni Lee. Amazing to see her emotions and then hear the emotion in her voice when she realized this dream.
It just feels so surreal. Like, it doesn't even feel like real life. Like, I'm an Olympic gold champion. Like, it just doesn't make sense. But I'm super excited. I'm so proud of myself. I've been working towards this my whole life, and it just feels amazing.
The St. Paul native who had more than 300 people crammed into a room to celebrate with her, but also to hang on every twist and turn and tumble and catapult through the air. Awesome to see her win gold. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That is my power move of the day in sports, but there are many to choose from. I know I just spent a few minutes on the Olympics because I've really loved everything I've seen, but we got to move. We got to skedaddle if we're going to get through everything else that happened in sports or as much as we can from the Thursday. And it's not done because Major League Baseball's trade deadline doesn't come up for another 11 hours. So there's still plenty of time. But we want to jam in to this final hour of the week everything we possibly can. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. My power move of the day in sports is Suni Lee. But what's yours? You have come up with a variety of answers on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us and weighing in. Our phone number, we'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Maybe you missed it. You might have missed it. When the news broke on Thursday afternoon, it felt like Mad Max Scherzer would be on his way to the NL West, but it was going to be with the Padres, not with the Dodgers. And so when the Dodgers kind of snuck in there, sneaky, under cover of night, and not only traded for the Nationals ace, who did have to agree to the deal. So Mad Max had the right of refusal because he's a 10-5 guy, meaning 10 years in the league, but also 5 years with the same team. So he's got some power over his destination. And he signed off on the Dodgers. But it wasn't just Max. It was also their all-star shortstop, Trey Turner, which surprised me a little bit because Turner is only 28 years old. And if you're going to rebuild and the Nationals in return for these two guys ended up with four of the top prospects in the Dodgers organization, including their top two that started the year, they get a bunch of young guys, maybe don't have to pay them as much right now, and they're in full rebuild mode. But why not keep Turner? It's a really interesting question. If you missed my conversation with longtime baseball insider Scott Miller, he was actually in San Diego when we had him on the show a couple hours ago, and he was processing even as we were asking him questions. But I did ask him that question and also asked him about the Dodgers and wondering, because in my opinion, this move might not have been made if they hadn't just run into the Giants and lost 5 of 7 over the course of the last 2 weeks and have now fallen further behind in that NL West race. And the Giants clearly are not going to back up and allow them to make this competitive or more competitive. And so the fact that they stumbled against the Giants, and part of that's been bullpen, part of that's been pitching. They've also got Mookie Betts on the injured list, and they've had different guys in and out of the lineup. They were going big or they were going home. And, you know, the Dodgers don't go home until you kick them out. So they get Max Scherzer, they get Trey Turner, and certainly bittersweet for Max. He did pitch in the first half of a doubleheader on Thursday, got his last win, and I did see some of you Nationals fans finding me on Twitter saying it was really good. Even though we thought this was coming down the pike, it was good for him to have that last victory, and certainly the World Series title will always be part of his legacy there in D.C.
We won a World Series, so that's a lot. Lifelong dream come true, and something that I'll always be so proud of with these guys here, to be able to win a World Series and be a part of a championship team, and looking forward to reunions and stuff like that.
So Max Scherzer, an all-star, a Cy Young Award winner, an ace, headed to Los Angeles, where presumably they won't have Trevor Bauer back for quite a while, if ever. I don't know what happens with his contract. I don't know what happens with his legal situation, certainly facing some serious allegations, potentially charges, but the report coming out of LA is that the team doesn't want him back. So if the team doesn't want you back, well, there's no way around that, no matter how you might spin or get around the rules of Major League Baseball. His leave's been extended because now his own clubhouse doesn't want him to return. So Max Scherzer fills that hole in the rotation. And then with Trey Turner, sure, you can never have enough bats. You can never have enough all-stars, right? But also Corey Seager, their free agent, or their shortstop that they love so much, he is a free agent at the end of this year, and we'll see whether or not they're able to re-sign him, but Turner gives them a different option. Other moves in baseball. Anthony Rizzo is headed to the New York Yankees. So the Cubs not quite doing a fire sale, but certainly divesting themselves of some pieces. And after 10 seasons with the Cubs, a World Series championship, 3 All-Star appearances, Rizzo was not in the lineup Thursday versus the Reds. He is headed to the Yankees. And I can imagine that's going to be jarring for Cubs fans to see him in a Yankees uniform. But 14 home runs, 40 RBI this season for the first baseman. And so he and Joey Gallo will potentially infuse that Yankees roster. But the goal for them was to pick up some left-handed bats, and so they've done that. Does it help their pitching? Well, it maybe covers up the sins of your pitching, but they still have some holes. And I was a little bit surprised, actually, to see the Yankees become such aggressive sellers, because they are 8.5 games back of the Red Sox in the AL East. And clearly the Red Sox and Rays are the class of that division. The Yankees have really struggled against the Red Sox and the Rays, but also they're 3.5 out in the second wild card. Is that insurmountable? No, it's just there's a lot of competition, and it feels like they've really struggled to find any consistency at all. It's one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back, which is why they're kind of languishing there and really haven't been able to get a push together, at least one that has gotten them any closer to the top of the AL East. So they're at 53-48, and they've been mediocre. Will these moves strengthen their offense? And here's the thing. As much as their pitching has been a mess at times this year, especially that bullpen lately, do you know their run differential is -6? -6. Compare that to the Rays in the same division, who are at +103, or compare it to the Blue Jays, who are a game behind them in the standings. The Blue Jays have scored 97 more runs than they've allowed. Meanwhile, the Yankees pitching has given up 6 more runs than the Yankees offense has scored. So that's rare to see a playoff team with a run differential in red numbers, but that's where it stands right now. So potentially these two bats can change that. And Aaron Boone says, hey, this could help a lot. It could bring extra energy. We're not out of it yet.
Clearly, we have a little bit of an uphill battle, and we know we've got to play really well down the I don't want to say down the stretch. We got a lot of season left to be calling it down the stretch, but we've got to play really good baseball the final 2 months of the season to give ourselves a chance.
Yeah, it's end of July, Saturday, the last day of July. So, yes, you have August and September to try to make a little something happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Padres, they were left a little high and dry, though they're working on a deal for Daniel Hudson. There are other names that are out there. Jose Berrios is another one with the Twins. And so I don't think the moves are done, but it's been crazy to this point. So even if nothing else happens, wowzers, Dodgers and Yankees, two teams, Red Sox acquiring Kyle Schwarber, though he is still on the injured list. Why does it always feel like the rich get richer? The Astros, they've been working on their bullpen because that's been their Achilles heel. They're already 5.5 games up in the AL West. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But at the very least, there were some headlines in baseball, some drama on the diamond Thursday to get fans to do a double take. 855-212-4CBS. We'll try to get to your calls as we head through the rest of this hour. We're asking you the power move in sports on Thursday. Was it from baseball or was it from the NBA? The Lakers overshadowing anything that happened at the draft by trading for Russell Westbrook. Now, they give up a lot of pieces to get the all-star point guard, 9-time all-star point guard. I wonder if this means that LeBron will not be running the point next season. You know that he's always fancied himself a point guard. But Russell Westbrook goes from the Wizards back home to L.A. Meanwhile, the Wizards get Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They also picked up that number 22 overall draft pick. So this is before the draft. They ended up flipping that to Indiana. And so it was a little convoluted. But the Lakers go with Westbrook instead of Buddy Hield. That was a report that was out there for quite a while on Thursday. Need to get some reaction from inside the league. And so this was the very latest with longtime NBA sharpshooter, former Sixth Man of the Year, a frequent guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Eddie Johnson was doing his show on SiriusXM NBA Radio last night.
It is a blockbuster. It's come from nowhere because we were all locked in on the Buddy Hield scenario with the Lakers, which would have been a great fit. But word was a few days ago that Westbrook did have interest to go back to L.A. I think that played a huge role in it. They had to have conversations, Justin, before they made this deal because Russell is polarizing, and Russell believes that he's just as good as any superstar. But the Lakers rolled the dice here with some energy on their team, and now it's going to take a while for them to figure out how to get some shooters on that ball club because right now those three guys aren't, as we would know, tremendous shooters.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking for a second. I was going to say, yes, I agree with that. And then I had a pause and a thought. LeBron's a shooter. He can score at will pretty much anytime he wants. And while he every now and then will struggle from the free throw line or will struggle from the 3-point line, the man knows how to score. Let's be honest. He can score in bunches. Anthony Davis is also a great scorer. And Russell Westbrook, 4 times in his career, has averaged a triple-double, including last season. Now, is he a pure shooter? No, but he's also a scorer. So as I was listening to Eddie, he's right. You're not talking about a Steph Curry type here. You're not talking about a Joe Harris type. I could go on and on and just list shooters in the NBA, but all three of these guys can score. And two of them in LeBron and Russell Westbrook can also create for themselves. You wouldn't say that Anthony Davis is a creator, though once the ball is in his hands, he's deadly. But both LeBron and Russell Westbrook are guys who can create opportunities, whether off the dribble, whether for their teammates. They are facilitators. You can easily say there's not enough ball to go around. And you know what? That's the same question I had when the Nets put their group together last year with James Harden and Kyrie and KD. Now, we didn't see a lot of those three together. But I would say if you look at these two core groups right now, one on each coast, Brooklyn and Los Angeles, I actually like the Lakers package better because all three of these guys are great two-way players. So LeBron, while he's older, is a phenomenal defender still. He's in great shape. Russell Westbrook is a tenacious defender. He's a big guard. He's physical. He's aggressive, and he takes pride in defense. So he's one of the best two-way guards in the league. Also, he is a bully. And then Anthony Davis, we're talking about a defender that's elite. And so to have those three guys who excel on both ends of the court is huge. But here's the problem with the Lakers. Who fills out the rest of their roster? They just traded away some good young pieces that were really instrumental in their run last year before they the injuries derailed them. But even before that, in their championship run, they have very few guys under contract. So that's going to be a challenge for them to try to put pieces around them that don't cost a lot of money. But you know what? The Warriors have done that. The Warriors have actually been really good putting veteran minimum guys around their core when they didn't have a lot of money to spend. So it can be done. You have to be creative. But certainly guys are going to want to play with the Lakers because they have a great shot at getting back to the NBA Finals. So it'll be interesting. But that was a power move to be sure. What was the power move of the day in sports, though? Seriously, what a freaking day. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the first pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Number one pick, you know, you want to come in and really elevate an organization. And so, you know, that's the expectations that I've had on myself for any team that I've played on. And, you know, I want to look back on my career and be proud of the things that I've done. So, you know, I'm going to take pride and make sure that I can deliver for Detroit, for the city of Detroit, and be that guy that they're looking for.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to Cade Cunningham, Big 12 Player of the Year, out of Oklahoma State, a 6'8 point guard who's extremely versatile. And he gets that first meeting with Adam Silver on the stage in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. It was good to hear so many people, lots of Pistons fans, actually, who were sporting the bright jerseys and really excited about the Pistons getting the number one overall pick. And I can imagine they have high hopes, considering Detroit has not won a playoff game since 2008, last time they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the interviews that we have that we pulled are from NBA TV, as these guys have to make the rounds, you know. And so Cunningham and a lot of the other draft picks were able to bring their families up onto the stage and do interviews with their families, which was pretty cool. I liked the family element of this draft. And Cade talked over and over about his daughter, who was there with him and with his parents. And he became a dad at 16 years old, so obviously not planned. But I appreciate how he gushed and glowed over his daughter and talked about how she was the dream that he never knew he had and that she's everything he wants. And this has really changed him being a dad as he looks ahead to his professional basketball career. So there's a lot of extra maturity there that maybe some of the other players don't have. And plus he comes out of the Big 12, which will soon be defunct. And so it's going to be a relic. No, I kid. But it was good to hear him talk and good to know that he's got motivation and incentive that extends far beyond the basketball court.
More than anything, they looked like they wanted to push me to be the best that I could be. I really believed that whenever I was talking to them, and you know, that's what was most important to me, is that they weren't going to take it easy on me as a number one pick, and that they were going to push me to be great. So, you know, I left feeling great. I left feeling like, you know, I was stepping into a great situation, and now I'm excited to be able to go deliver for them.
So the Detroit Pistons let it be known that they were taking Cade Cunningham even before the draft started. And as always, you appreciate it when a company, a business, in this case, a basketball team, has confidence in you and wants you and believes that you can not only help them win, but has high standards and high expectations with you on the team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jalen Green really felt like the Detroit Pistons should draft him, actually. And he's got a message to every other team in the league after the Rockets picked him number 2 overall.
I'm sorry for y'all, because I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, Detroit especially. So I'm coming.
I feel sorry for y'all. Especially you, Detroit. Look out. I'm coming. Oh, the the precociousness. And he comes out of the G League. And so as a guy who's got a little more experience in terms of the pro game, though I guess it would be a kind of a glorified step up from some of the college activity. What was the power move in sports on Thursday? Because it was a day that was full of them, and Russell Westbrook kind of overshadowing the draft, even though every other team was out there looking for the next diamond in the rough, or not even a diamond that's in the rough, but one that's already completely shiny and sparkling. And it's hard to judge how these moves will look moving forward, but I do believe that in the NBA, as well as in every other professional sport, the top prospects come in far more ready to contribute now. It doesn't mean there isn't an adjustment. It doesn't mean they don't have to figure out how to be a pro at whatever they do. And they've got to get used to their sport as a career where it's everything, right? And the seasons are so much longer. So you always hear about rookies hitting the wall at some point. And so there are a lot of different adjustments that they'll make in this transition. And yet the top prospects have been groomed for so long, and they've worked with the right people, and they've had their sights set. Their families have had their sights set on this prize and this goal for a while, which means they've been operating and prepping to that end. So it's not as difficult a transition when you've had people around you who have been telling you this for years and have kind of helped you to prepare for this goal. So congratulations to all of the picks. It's fun to see them, especially the ones that we remember from long runs in March Madness, because we did have March Madness this year. Let's talk to David, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to talk about the Westbrook trade, and I think that it was a good trade for both teams. And for the Lakers, they're in a win-now mode. Like, they need a veteran like Westbrook right now. And if you have to give up some of your young pieces, because LeBron is getting older and Anthony Davis is injury-prone, so they really needed a third guy to take the pressure off of them and take some of the ball handling off of LeBron. Now, you know, you have another guy who can distribute the ball. LeBron doesn't have to, you know, have the ball as much in his hands. He can rest more. He doesn't have to play as much during the regular season, I don't think, now. But for the Wizards, this was a good trade because they're not going to be a championship contender next year, even if they kept Westbrook and Beal together. I mean, after watching them play against the Sixers, you could just see this team is not close to getting to a championship. And this trade doesn't make them a championship contender, but they have pieces now they can build, young pieces for the future. And they got a new coach now. I think it's going to be a really good coach in this league. And Wes Unseld Jr., I think these pieces can develop in a couple of years. They could be a really good team. But I think if they kept Westbrook, they would have made the playoffs. But I don't see them getting out of the first round. So I think it was a good trade for both teams.
Yeah, you know what? The piece that I like about, well, there are a couple of things that I like about the Wizards side of this. The piece that I really like the most, I think, is probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He had been playing really well and then kind of saw his shots drop a little bit because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. And so I do think that he can flourish in this new opportunity. Of course, Kyle Kuzma, we've seen his potential. Montrezl Harrell is kind of a dirt dog type who can be a locker room guy who can bring some tenacity and some fight. So I would agree with you about the pieces. Now, they all have to merge together. Clearly, the most important player on that roster now is Bradley Beal. And while he's under contract through next season, this frees up some money to potentially get him under contract and to give him a big extension so he will stay. Because you do need some star power. You cannot win in this league if you don't have superstars, and it's easier to re-sign yours, and you can give more money to Bradley Beal if he stays there. And so maybe this entices him, and hopefully they can get a deal done where Beal stays in place, and then that, in turn, could attract some other guys.
Well, I think he really liked playing with Westbrook, so that was kind of a surprise that they traded him in that aspect, because him and Westbrook really liked each other.
Well, as you say, though, they likely weren't going to be a championship contender with the team as it was currently constituted. And so, yeah, maybe it's tough for them to split up. And I think they did find a way to make it work, which honestly, David, gives me hope for the Lakers situation, because just the way that Westbrook was motivated to figure it out and to figure out the dynamic with Bradley Beal, how much more so now that he's going home, right? It's his fourth team in 4 years, but he's going home to Los Angeles, and He'll be 33 early in the season. He does not have a ring. That's what he wants. For all of his individual stats and accomplishments, what he wants is a ring. And so he's going to figure out a way to make it work with LeBron, as LeBron will with him. Obviously, LeBron signed off on this move, and he was crowing about it on social media. These three guys will figure it out. They're all pros. They all know basketball inside and out, and they're going to make it work if what they want is a ring. So I'd agree with you. I think for the goals of each team, it's a positive move on both sides.
Yes. And the thing about Westbrook is his shooting is going to be a problem. That's the only thing I'm worried about in the playoffs. Is he going to be able to knock down shots?
Well, Westbrook creates for himself. So I would agree with you that his shooting can be streaky, and at times his three-pointer deserts him completely, or just his jump shot in general. But he creates points. He creates scoring opportunities, and that's one thing you can always count on with him, is that if the shots aren't dropping, and you know, let's hope that he can recognize that, he can find other ways to score. And I appreciate that about LeBron, too. Both those guys can create shots for themselves and for others, and that's a valuable tool, as you've noted.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Come on! As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And you're fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
The 3-1, Votto whacks it. Right center field, well hit and deep and gone! Joey Votto's done it again! A two-run shot for Votto, his second home run tonight. And Joey Votto has back-to-back multi-home run games.
Joey came up to me, I think before the year, he was like, you've never seen me really good, have you? I've been here since 2019, I think. And I was like, I mean, you're really good. I used to watch you all the time when I was, 10. And he was like, well, I'm going to be really good this year. I want to win MVP. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
Joey Votto providing not just one, not two, but six boom moments of the week. And you can hear his teammate, shortstop Kyle Farmer, fess up that Votto's goal was to become an MVP candidate or to win the MVP. And actually, there was another bite in which Votto himself says, the difference is I'm trying to hit home runs. Franchise record, another big bat and another fireworks show at Wrigley Field. Even as a lot of the attention was focused on Anthony Rizzo and potentially the end of Chris Bryant in Chicago, but Votto goes deep for a sixth game in a row. That is a Cincinnati Reds franchise record. Four game series against the Cubs producing six home runs. And so the Reds, they've got this guy who's hot, hot, hot at the plate, and they are still above 500. So a little different than where they've been in years past, where maybe they were one of the teams that was selling off pieces. Votto is sitting just shy of 60 RBI, excuse me, and is now sitting at 20 home run. But if he keeps up at this pace, who knows? He may insert himself into the conversation atop the leaderboard when it comes to charting those home runs. Shohei Ohtani goes into the weekend with 37. Vlad Jr. is at 33. Fernando Tatis at 31. And then you've got guys behind them, of course, that are in the upper 20s. But those are the only three guys that are over 30. So there's work to do for Votto, but he's on quite a tear right now. And that's our boom moment of the week, courtesy of the Reds Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What was the power move of the day in sports on Thursday? If you missed my conversation with Scott Miller, it's a longtime baseball insider. He actually joined us from San Diego. So the Padres have the rug pulled out from underneath them with Max Scherzer, and they're still looking for a starter. They obviously brought in a reliever, but they're looking for a starter, and they thought they had the nose in front for Max Scherzer, but instead the rival Dodgers grab him. I wish we could get some reaction from the Bay Area and the San Francisco Giants, who essentially have had their way against the Dodgers over the past week and a half in their head-to-head games. But the Dodgers get not just Max Scherzer, but also Trey Turner, and they're putting together a group that they believe can withstand the injuries, but also try to fill that hole left by Trevor Bauer should he not return to the Dodgers in 21. But the Yankees also, now they're in a different position. The Dodgers are not in first place, but likely to make the postseason unless the wheels completely come off. Why? Well, because they're in the NL West, and along with the Padres, those three teams, we're talking about three of the best records in Major League Baseball. So even as the Giants sit with 64 wins, the Dodgers have 62, which is better than better than all but two other teams. So the Astros and the Red Sox both have 63 wins. But we're still talking about a Dodgers team that is very good. It's above 20 games above 500. They've just struggled against the Giants. And so the Padres are just a couple of games behind them, 2.5 games back of the Dodgers. So it's going to be a tight race. They're beating each other up. And the Padres are also wanting to make a move. So there probably are going to be more fireworks. As for the Yankees, as I say, they're not in a position of strength like the Dodgers are, but they've decided they're not going to throw in the towel. They're not going to wave the white flag. And I feel for Nationals fans, I feel for Cubs fans, because that's the hard thing about it. And especially if Chris Bryant ends up going on Friday somewhere else. They already had lost Kyle Schwarber, right? And so that core had been breaking up anyway, and the Cubs have scuffled. They've gone through different changes in their front office, also with their managers. And let's be honest, post-World Series did not live up to the expectations that they set for themselves, but also did not live up to the standard that they had set for themselves. And now they've dropped three in a row. They're four games below the Mendoza line, and I mean, they're 11.5 games behind the Brewers, and so it's not impossible, but it's the situation that they've carved out for themselves, the hole they put themselves in. But it doesn't make it any easier for Cubs fans who've gotten attached to guys like Chris Bryant, like Anthony Rizzo, who was there for 10 seasons, but is now on his way to New York. And he says he's got mixed emotions, you know, looking around Wrigley Field on Thursday. He said he was sad and he was kind of overcome by a wash of emotions. And yet the next couple months, well, they offer a new opportunity.
These next 3 months, it's going to be fun to go right to a race and seeing the Yankees pull the triggers like this, get Gallo. Me now, obviously, but that's what they do, and they're excited.
I am really excited to see how this plays out. I'm also really tired because it's been quite a week. But it's a few more minutes so I can power through. Speaking of power, what was the power move of the day in sports? Chris on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the Pistons going to shock some people next year, especially getting the best player in the draft. Hashtag Cade Cunningham. Ray says the power move of the day, no doubt the trade from Trey Turner and Max Scherzer, or he means the trade of Trey Turner and Max Scherzer to Los Angeles, to future. Another guy who didn't check his tweet before he posted it. To future of famers. The H is silent. The H is missing. I believe what he meant to say is two future Hall of Famers for four prospects. They make your team instantly better. Ray, thank you for that tweet. Steven on Twitter, biggest power move, winning the women's gymnastics all around. I absolutely agree with that. That's my number one, Suni Lee. And not just Suni, but Jade Carey. I know she fell on the balance beam, but the opportunity of a lifetime and to be able to compete where she had been left off the finals for the all-around because you were only supposed to have two per country. And she killed it on the vault. She crushed it. She was first after they had all gotten done vaulting. And then she did relatively well on the uneven bars, but a couple of the young women who were on the bars set such high standards that, you know, the judges are ranking incrementally and scoring incrementally, and her routine is not nearly as difficult as the ones that we saw from I think there was one from Brazil, and then also even Suni Lee's rotation, a couple of the Russians too. And so she slipped back a little bit, but the devastating blow was the fall on the balance beam. But I'm thrilled for her that she had the opportunity to be part of the all-around because she earned that right. And congratulations to Suni Lee as well. And I love the support that the two of them had for one another. Despite the fact that they were competing for the same prize, they were so supportive. Lots of hugs, lots of congratulations, lots of encouragement. That relationship was definitely on display. And then the other members of Team USA who were there in the arena, including Simone Biles, Jordan Chiles, Grace McCallum, they're all cheering on their teammates as well. So I love seeing that. On our Facebook page, a lot of you coming up with a variety of answers about the power move of the day in sports. And I'm trying to keep up. There's dozens and dozens. I'm having a hard time. Bob says the SEC gaining Texas and Oklahoma. He says it blows up college football. Well, I'll even expand it further. It actually blows up basketball, too. OU has had a great basketball program, a great basketball tradition, even though changing coaches now. But, oh, my gosh, Loyola. Who'd they end up shoot? Now, I can't remember their new coach's name just because I haven't been thinking about it for a really long time. But they have had a great basketball tradition there as well. And so, yes, I would agree it's a move that's made for the football. But the idea that it's just for football, Porter Moser, sorry, the name came to me, but haven't thought about college hoops in a while. So Porter Moser takes over for Lon Kruger, but this is also a good basketball school. And Texas has got great facilities and resources, so you would expect them to rebound. But yes, the SEC voting unanimously to extend the invite to Texas and Oklahoma, and all that remains is for those two schools to formally accept. Bob, a different Bob, says Suni Lee is the power move of Thursday after being overshadowed by Simone Biles. Talk about pressure, way to push through and not give up. Gregory goes bigger picture with the awesome athletes who participate in the Olympics. And then Tony says easily it's Russell Westbrook. So much to choose from. I have a feeling the weekend is going to be just as dramatic in sports. So we're back with you Sunday night to break it all down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.